Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. We have people here from all over the world this morning. A lot of different countries, or several, I should say, maybe not a lot, but several. Different culture, different food that we eat in our lands, different language, but the same God. We worship the same God. Isn't that neat? Same living water. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. My message title this morning is The Flowing Well. And I really enjoy this story. And I don't know, I love this story. And I wanted to preach about it. And I sat down and I just sat there for a while because I'm not sure how to communicate what this story means to me. So I'm just going to tell you about the story, some things that stick out to me, I guess. And hopefully it blesses you as well. And I'm not going to get into near all of it. There's other things we can learn too that I won't talk about this morning. So for a little bit of context, Jesus had been baptizing people, and it seems like it was in the same area that John was. And it said that there were more people coming to be baptized by Jesus and his disciples than were coming to John. And the disciples of John, I think, were a little bit worried about that, and so they went to John and talked about it. And that's when John said that, you know, Jesus needs to increase and I need to decrease. And they had that discussion. But the point is, I guess, is that Jesus was busy. They were baptizing, and it says when the Pharisees heard about it, then Jesus decided to leave and go back to Galilee. But there was a lot of people around. A lot of people were coming. I'm sure there was a lot of discussion, a lot of needs, a lot of questions. Let's start reading in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So I'm not sure exactly where Jesus started from in Judea, but Judea was a big area, and Jerusalem was there, and actually Jesus was in Jerusalem right before he started baptizing. So I don't know if he was in the vicinity, but as the crow flies, if my map was right, between Jerusalem and Sychar was about 30 miles. And Samaria was between Judea, so Judea was down in the south, and then you'd have Samaria, and then Galilee was above that. So you had to go through Samaria or around it. So when Jesus got to this well, he was too tired to go on, it would appear. And so his disciples went ahead to get some food for him, and Jesus rested there at the well of Jacob. Any idea how old this well was? I think it was about 1,800 to 1,900 years old. So this was an old well. And I'm sure it had a lot of meaning to these people. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So Jesus, being weary, asked her, I'm so thirsty. Can you please give me a drink of water? And thirst at this point was something that both Jesus and the woman understood. And we can understand that feeling as well. I'm thirsty and I need a drink. Being thirsty is a little bit of a desperate feeling. There's no remedy except a drink. The Israelites, when they were in the wilderness and realized they had no water, basically panicked. They were worried that they were going to die in the wilderness. Samson, after killing the Philistines with the jaw of the donkey, cried out to God for water. He was so thirsty. There is only one remedy when we're thirsty, and that's a drink. And this was Jesus. He was thirsty. He was weary. Can you please give me a drink? Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I'd like to say it like this. Why are you asking me? You're a Jew, and you Jews hate us. You won't have anything to do with us. Go ask a Jew to help you. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So the woman says that you think that you're better than us, and Jesus responds by saying, If you only understood the gift of God and knew who I am, then you would ask me for a drink. And I suppose if the woman wasn't already a little bit upset, she was now. If you only knew who I was, seems like kind of a pious thing to say when the person is already upset with who you are. And one thing, it's not listed here, written here, but I wonder, so the disciples were on their way to Sychar, and she was on her way to the well, and I'm guessing they crossed paths somewhere in there. And I wonder if, like, it seems like the woman was upset when she got there. And I wonder if the disciples had something to do with it. I don't know, just theory. So, verse 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well's deep. Where are you going to get your water from? These arrogant Jews, you know, he just asked me for a drink, and now he's telling me this stuff. And what's more, are you really going to say that I don't understand the gift of God? Who do you think you are? Do you think that you're greater than our father Jacob? You know, Jacob is our father too. And he gave us, our people too, this well, and drank of this water himself. We're just as good as you are. Jacob is our father too. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So Jesus ignored her questions. He didn't get caught up in explaining where he gets it or in answering the attack on his credibility. He just reaffirmed that he had water to offer, and he made it sound even better. You'll never thirst again. That's appealing. Not only that, but if you drink it, you'll live forever. That sounds like a scam. You're asking me for water, but you're offering water to me that will make so I never thirst again. And she says, in verse 15, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'll take it. Let's see this miracle water. And Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. So go get your husband, and I'll show you. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. She said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus told her that she had been married five times, and the one that she was with now wasn't her husband. And it seems like that we don't get the whole story here. I think John just wrote the part that we needed to hear to understand the story. But later she told the men of the city that Jesus told her everything that she had ever done. And so I think there was probably a lot more to this discussion than just this section or that verse there about her husbands. But the point is that this woman was thirsty. She was longing for something. She had been through five husbands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And was on to another person. She was thirsty. She wasn't getting any relief at this well of Jacob. And Jesus said, If you only knew who it was that is speaking to you, you would ask for this living water. Water of life, water that will quench your thirst, and not just for today, but will continue to spring up and it will last forever. We thirst as well. I believe that we're all created to worship God. We all have desires in our hearts. We all have longings. Some are satisfied with earthly things, but some cannot be. And the world offers an alternative. How about that? The world offers an alternative, something to take the edge off of our thirst, something to satisfy for a moment, for a night, for a day, for a week, something, some form of pleasure to satisfy for a time, to take the edge off of our thirst. But you know how it goes. It's fleeting. We have to keep going back to the pleasure, and it begins to rule over us. We have to have more and more to satisfy us. It never lasts, and we get pulled in deeper and deeper. Do you think that this woman on her first wedding day thought that she would be married 5 times and then be moved on from her 5th? Probably not. Why did she do that? And you know, the path into drugs and alcohol is the same. So I saw an animation one time. You may have seen it too. I want to say I saw it on Facebook, but I don't know. It's been a long time ago, but it kind of stuck with me. It's this little creature that's running down the path, and he's all full of energy running down the path. And he comes across some drugs, I'll call them drugs, substance abuse, whatever. Came across some drugs, and he was really suspicious and looking around at it and checked it out and decided to try it. So he took the drugs, and it made him fly. And he was flying through the air, and it was glorious. And he did these flips and landed in stride and kept trucking down the path. And it was all good. And he thought, wow, that was great. And he gets to another place in the path where there's some drugs. And he looks at it again, you know, it's kind of suspicious, but boy, last time it felt good. And so he does it again. And it makes him fly. And it's amazing. But this time he crashes when he lands. And he gets up, dusts himself off, takes off down the path again, comes to the drugs, looks at it a little bit, but no hesitation, takes it, and flies a little bit, and lands in a heap. Crash. Boy, gets up, brushes himself off, takes off at a slow jog. Comes to the drugs, boy, I need this, and he takes it right away, and oh, it makes him feel good, and he flies a little bit, and again, crashes, and can barely get up, and he trudges down the path. And he comes to the drugs again and is on him, like, you know, quickly. He needs that. He you know, took it and, you know, it didn't make him fly at all. It just gave him a little bit of energy to jog a little bit, and then it was back to the slow walk, and the screen got darker and darker. And he came to another thing of drugs, and he took it, and all it did was just gave him a little bit of light, and then the screen goes dark. But that's the way it is with that kind of thing, with sin. It can pull us in. We need more and more. People in the world are thirsty today. They thirst for love, for faithfulness, truth, and honesty, peace, and prosperity. They thirst for righteousness and goodness. But because of the condition of man, we know that's not all they thirst for, but men are also full of pride and evil desires, and they refuse to humble themselves before God. So they go searching to satisfy their thirst elsewhere, and in this case, 5 husbands. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah 2, starting at verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Excuse me. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through, and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Shittim, and see, send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Does that resonate with you this morning? Have you done this? Have you traded your living water for broken cisterns that have to be constantly filled with pleasure? If you thirst for righteousness, good works aren't going to get you there, although they may satisfy for a time. If you thirst for peace, the kingdoms of this world won't give that to you. If you thirst for true, faithful love, you won't find that in relationships here on earth. If you thirst for joy, you won't find that on a vacation to an exotic place, although it may feel good for a time. And I want to contrast the difference between living water and the water from the world. The world offers things that are temporary, but oh, so attractive. Any type of pleasure that you can think of, the lust of the flesh, whatever your eyes wants to see, it's there. Whatever makes you feel good, wealth, influence, immorality, drugs and alcohol, likes on social media, you name it. It's there. These things may cover the longing that you experience for a time, but it does not last. The brokenness is still there, the loneliness, the fear, the longing for something more. It's a little bit like drinking an energy drink. It'll pump you up, it'll make you feel good for a while, but it doesn't last. And the next day you have to drink more, and the next day you have to drink more, and it doesn't last. Living water is so different. Jesus said that he is meek and lowly of heart, not flashy or attention-grabbing. Living water, excuse me. Living water is forgiveness of sin. It's a solid foundation of truth. It's peace in the storm, joy in the midst of sorrow, steadfast hope in death. It's faithfulness, honesty, and grace in our marriages, in our friendships, and in the church. It's just plain water. It's not sugary. It doesn't give us a boost. It's not a pretense. There's nothing artificial about it. It's real. It doesn't create something in us that's not real, that's not true. And living water is good for us. And I think the best way, like if you want a zoomed out picture of what the living water is, like what is living water? Well, living water is salvation and everything that goes with it. It's justification, it's sanctification, it's growing, it's all of it. I would say it's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and all the fruit of the Spirit that comes from that. So how do we get this living water? We ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. So if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does God give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Jesus said to the woman that if she would ask, he would give it. In verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that giveth, that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So it's a gift. It's not to be bought or sold. It's priceless. It's worth more than all the pleasure this world can offer. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And after we drink the living water, we never thirst again. All that we are created to be, all that we long for, all of who we are supposed to be in Christ is complete. Almost. We will be complete when the spring water leads us into everlasting life. Let's keep reading at verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So Jesus told her that the time was coming, and now is, that true worshipers, so the question was, for her, as a Samaritan, they worshipped in a mountain. The Jews said, no, you need to worship at Jerusalem, which was right at the time. But Jesus said, the time is coming, and now is, and it is for us today, that we don't worship in a place anymore. But those that the true worshipers of God worship in spirit and in truth. And I take that to mean that we worship in our inner man, in our spirit. Like we worship God on the inside. And we also worship God in truth or on the outside, in things that we can see. We worship God in spirit, the things on the inside, and in truth, in our actions. And then I think it's interesting, and I don't know if I'm putting something together that shouldn't be, but it seems like that we have an example of this flowing well in action in this story. So we're going to skip down to verse 31, but in the meantime, the woman went back to Samaria and to tell all of them there, and the disciples came back, and they were surprised that Jesus was speaking to her. The disciples came back with food. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, Are there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So this well that Jesus had springing up within him sustained him when he did God's will, even to the point of strengthening his physical body as well. And Jesus expects us to spread the gospel too. He wants us to have a part in directing people to this flowing well of living water. If you only knew, if people only knew who it is that's offering this water, if we only knew that we would never thirst again, if we only knew that this water would become a flowing well springing up in our spirit, and if we only knew that this water would lead us into life eternal, we would ask for this water. This living water. I want to close by going to Revelation chapter 22. And we're kind of talking about this living water as it's an example of what happens in our spirit. It's a way to describe something that's maybe not describable. But the river of life is real. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So isn't that neat? That's exactly what Jesus was saying here. If you take the water that Jesus gives that comes from the Father, it becomes a well of water springing up, and it leads to everlasting life. And here we see in heaven there's going to be a river of water that comes out of the throne of God, and in this river of water is the tree of life, the tree of everlasting life. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I want to go see this river. Don't you? If you're thirsty this morning, maybe you've been covering your thirst with something temporary, with temporal things. Go to the living water. Go to the source. Go to the living water. You will never thirst again. May God bless you.